Welcome to the Portland Music Insider.
Portland Music Insider is your authentic connection to the heartbeat of Portland's legendary music scene. Our online radio station is dedicated to honoring and amplifying the voices of musicians who have been shaping the sound of Portland, Oregon for more than 20 years. We go beyond just playing great music. We sit down with long-standing local artists, bands, and performers to share their stories, experiences, and insights from decades of performing in and around the city. Between interviews, we showcase their original music, giving listeners a true taste of Portland's rich and diverse sound. Whether it's rock, blues, jazz, punk, or folk, every track reflects the spirit of a community built on creativity and passion. In addition to interviews and music, Portland Music Insider keeps you in the loop with up-to-date band information and show listings, so you'll always know who's performing around town. For locals and music lovers everywhere, we're your insider's guide to Portland's vibrant live music culture.
You are listening to an interview with Sal Solano and the Salamanders, recorded live Saturday, November 15th.
Good evening.
2025 at the Bypass Bar and Grill in Dayton, Oregon. Today is Saturday, November 15th, 2025. My name is Robert Davis. And for the audience today, this is our second live interview for Portland Music Insider. I'm a 25-year sound lighting engineer. I own my own sound company called AAA Sound. And now as a radio personality, I'm doing live sound interviews at the radio station called KBOO in Portland, and also our Portland Music Insider event. I also introduce myself as a longtime friend of Michael LeClaire, who is sitting with us today on the microphone. Will be Sal Solano of the Salamanders. Say hello, Sal.
Hello, hello, hello.
You can tell he's a musician at heart. Also, Michael LeClaire. Say hello, Michael.
Hello, Michael.
Oh, you guys are really ripping tonight. Michael LeClaire is my co-host and compadre for Portland Music Insider and will be with me on every live interview event. He is the man with the knowledge. He is the man that was a booking agent. He's a sound engineer. He's a jack of all trades. He's a drummer. He was even a postmaster at one time. Woo-hoo!
To rain or snow.
That's true. He's nodding. Currently, we're sitting in the Bypass Bar and Grill and have just finished listening to Sal and the Salamanders for several hours. As always, Sal and the Salamanders rock the house. And you did, buddy.
Woo-hoo.
Sal's Groovin' Movin' Tunes band rock the house and makes everybody want to dance the night away. I met Sal at an event in Newburgh with Johnny Limbo and the Lugnuts. Their farewell tour back in August, I believe. So, I'm going to take a second and
sure.
Play one of your cuts, and we'll be right back.
Play. This is what I'm being.
So, Sal, you've been a longtime musician in and around Portland for over 20 years.
I have.
What is it like and how is it going?
Well, ever since my retirement, it seems like I'm working harder than what I was when I was working.
You know, that's the way. You know, you always wind up working harder at things you like, and I know you like music.
Yes.
You are a drummer at heart. You have a drum kit sitting up, not too big a kit, but manageable.
Yes, it fits the size of the room.
The older you get, the fewer drums you're hauling. Trust me on that.
So, Sal, tell the audience, how did you start in the music business, and how long have you been doing it?
Well, not long enough, apparently. I started in junior high playing the snare drum in band. I come from a family of musicians. Never mind the background noise.
Yeah, that's just his band.
And my oldest brother, Juan, was a bass player in a Mexican band, a conjunto. They would play, let me back up a little bit. Anyway, I inherited my brother Joe's drums when in 1971, something like that. I was like 14. He went to the Air Force, left me his drums. He was a drummer in a rock band back in the psychedelic era.
Ooh.
And I was telling you about my older brother Juan played bass. We put a band. I put a band together, and we'd play at my brother Juan's intermissions in the Bailes, and that was fun. We played our Creedence and Beatles while they played all their polkas and cumbias and fun stuff like that. And I've been in bands ever since.
So your family is musical?
Yes, my dad played guitar. I played guitar with my dad in church, and my sister played piano. My other younger brother has played music with me off and on for years. He plays guitar. And
now obviously they play a different genre of music.
My younger brother didn't, the one I just mentioned, Jesse. Just my oldest brother who played the Mexican music.
Oh, I see.
Him and my other brother Joe that got me started on drums are now deceased. But I had another older sister who played guitar. She was kind of in the Joan Baez phase. Oh. Back in the day.
Oh.
Folk guitar.
Oh my.
Yeah. Like I said before, it's been in the family.
Yeah. So I'm going to take a second and play one of your cuts, and we'll be right back.
Oh, Portland's musical infrastructure has been instrumental in supporting local talent. Iconic venues like the Crystal Ballroom, established in 1914, have hosted generations of musicians across multiple genres. Moreover, spaces like Doug Fir Lounge and Mississippi Studios have become legendary platforms for both emerging and established artists. Particularly notable are the city's blues and rock scenes. Bands like Portland's own Cherry Poppin' Daddies, known for their hit Zoot Suit Riot, have represented the city's musical diversity. Their energetic performances at venues like the Oregon Museum of Science and Industry, OMSI, during the late 1990s and early 2000s showcased Portland's unique musical spirit.
Yeah. Do you write any of your music?
I have written many songs, which I classify as crybaby songs, because they're mostly inspired by past relationships.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But
you and Taylor Swift.
Yeah. There you go. A lot of them are on cassette, but nothing real professional. Years went by, and like eighth grade, I started taking guitar lessons at school.
Oh.
So I own like about, I don't know, 9 or 10 guitars.
Oh, my.
I play guitar. I played bass in the band before because I didn't know. I was looking for myself.
Yeah, sure.
You just can't do a pretty song by beating on a drum all day.
Nope.
So I wanted to, I've written songs when I did all the instruments and all the harmonies with myself before. I own a bass guitar. I made a bass guitar out of a cutting board, and I still have it.
Wow.
Just needs a little, gotta just working on the wiring. I used to build amplifiers for Biamp for like 7 years.
Why?
Met a lot of cool musicians there.
I'll bet. So, Sal, we're going to play another cut from your tonight's event. So, stand by, and here we go.
All right.
Oh,
You know, we just interviewed Ben Rice here a few months ago, and his father makes these
cigar box guitars.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And the first five, he was selling them for, as Ben says, beer money. He was selling these guitars for $50 a guitar, if you can believe that. You know, so. But yep, and so you know, you're sitting across from another drummer. You know, Michael LeClaire, who's right here.
Yeah,
yeah. Of course.
How long has the Salamanders been playing?
Oh, for a little over 10 years.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Well, you guys, you would know each other quite well then if you've been playing for 10
years.
Oh,
he's played my drums before. We played the same stage before a few times.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
I see.
Salamanders were originally created, I was between bands, and my son invited me to go sing karaoke. And the manager, which happens to be the lead bartender here tonight, was working at another club. I gotta drop no names. She came up to me and she says, "So, do you have a band? I really like your voice." I says, "No." She says, "Can you put one together? You're really good." I says, "Well, I probably could." She says, "We had a cancellation. We need a band this weekend."
Oh, my.
So that was the beginning of the Salamanders?
Yeah. And she says, "What are you guys going to call yourselves?" And I thought back to this little girl. I used to install cable TV. And I got to know this family in Amity. And their daughter was like 6 years old. And I became friends with them. And when I come over, she always said, "Salamander's here."
Oh, so that's how
she related my name to Salamanders.
Well, you know, it really does roll off the tongue really well, though. Sal and the Salamanders. I mean,
that's worked for me.
yeah, absolutely. And tell us about your musicians.
Well, we've had different musicians in Salamanders.
Okay.
But overall, it's always me, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah, but, what would it be without Sal?
Yeah. I mean, I'm not bragging or nothing, but they said, "Oh, we want to come see Sal." And they said, "Who's the Salamanders tonight?" You know.
So, can you name your current band?
Yes. On the guitar, we got a real good friend of mine. Known him for years. What's his name? Bruce McKay.
Yeah. Oh, what's his name?
Fantastic guitar player. Yeah, he's been with me a little over a year.
I see.
And the bass player I was playing with for like 30 years. He just recently hurt his arm. And tonight we have Mr. David Weddle, which goes by Davey Nicks.
Oh.
On the social media. And he's originally a guitar player, but he's a great bass player. We have been using him off and on because it seems like I'm really bad on bass players, you know. In my career, three of them have passed, and three of them had...
Oh, you are hard
had,
on
had
bass
physical
players.
Injuries, so they couldn't play no more.
Oh, my. Well, we know not to involve you with too many bass players, then, given that track record. Oh, my God.
But every time we come up with a new sound, overall the same sound, but a little different groove on it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which we'll be playing tonight.
Absolutely. So I'm going to take a second and play one of your cuts, and we'll be right back.
Oh,
You've been listening to Sal Solano and the Salamanders, recorded live at the Bypass Bar and Grill, Dayton, Oregon, November 15th, 2025. Remember, KBOO is a listener-supported station, and your membership donation directly helps keep independent radio like KBOO on the air. Donate online at kboo.fm/donate.
Portland Music Insider is your all-access pass to the heartbeat of Portland's legendary music scene. Broadcasting straight from the city that's been rocking for decades, we spotlight the local legends who've been making Portland, Oregon sing for over 20 years. We don't just play music. We tell the stories behind it. Through exclusive interviews with long-standing Portland musicians, we bring you raw, real conversations about their journey, their craft, and the city that shaped their sound. Between interviews, you'll hear the music that built the scene, from gritty dive bar rock to smooth jazz, from punk energy to soulful blues. And because the scene is still alive and thriving, Portland Music Insider also keeps you in the know with up-to-date info on who's playing live around town, upcoming shows, and can't-miss performances. If you love real music with real history, tune in and turn it up. Portland Music Insider. Where Portland's past, present, and future take the stage.
So, Sal, how many drum sets do you have?
I had 7. I gave 1 to my son, 1 to my granddaughter, and now I have, what's that mean? Now I have 5 left?
Yeah.
I gave 1 to another friend of mine.
Oh.
Because I have 1, 2, 3, 4.
4.
I have a Yamaha, 2 Pearls, and a Ludwig.
Yeah.
And a bunch of odds and ends.
Are they old Ludwigs?
The bass drum to one is.
Yeah.
It's like, I would say, 60s. The kick is like a little 18-inch. I use it in my practice room.
Oh, yeah.
And I have one of those symphonic snares on it. And two of my snares are 50s and 60s. My Slingerland snares. You know, we collect a lot of snares.
Yeah.
Right now I'm playing a Pearl snare that is funny because I went on Marketplace, there was a Pearl bag for $20, and when I went and picked it up, there was a snare drum inside of it.
Oh my.
Brand new.
Righteous.
Oh my God.
Did they know they were doing that?
Well, maybe she wrote the advertisement wrong.
Oh.
Because I thought she said, you know, Pearl drum bag.
Right.
She didn't say anything about snare.
Wow.
I said, thank you very much. Here's your $20.
Slipped into that one nicely.
And I've liked it, you know. I like to change every now and then. So that's what I'm playing tonight. Yeah,
I can't remember. I think I've got 5 or 6 snares. They kind of accumulate.
Yeah. Like guitar players, you know, collection.
So, Sal, we're going to play another cut from your tonight's event. So, stand by, and here we go.
All right. Yeah.
They've been rocking Portland for over 20 years. Now they're telling their stories. Tune in for exclusive interviews, legendary tracks, and live show info. Portland Music Insider. This is Portland.
So we're here at the Bypass Bar and Grill.
Yes.
This has got to be one of your local haunts that you play regularly. Is that
right? I play here, I don't know, 6-7 times a year.
Oh, okay. It's not several times a month then.
Oh, no.
Okay.
We were the one who's, we were the first band to open this club up to play here.
So you did an opening set here when this place first opened.
Yes.
So you must be real tight with the owner or the bartender, one or the other.
They throw me a bone, I throw them a bone.
absolutely. So you said when you walked through the door and we talked for a minute, you said that you had been playing out and this is your third gig this week, is that right?
Not an official gig, but the third night I played.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, Tuesday night, there was a new jam session with some friends that invited me out in Forest Grove.
Oh.
I don't even remember the name of the club, but I sat in for a set or more.
I see.
Showed them my stuff, gave them my card.
So you not only play at clubs, you play jam sessions too then, when people invite you.
Yeah, that's what I used to do a lot before I was in an official band, when I was between bands.
Sure.
I just keep practicing, keep playing, keep my chops up.
Yeah.
And then Thursday night, I played in Salem with another friend's band.
I see. So that was a public gig or private?
It's public, yes.
Yeah. Like this place?
Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you don't charge a cover?
No. Some clubs I do, like sometimes the Eagles Laws or the Elks Laws.
Oh, I see. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it just depends on the location. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. And you're a musician at heart. I can tell that based on your personality and the way that you talk about your drums and the way that you interact with people and your drum sets. And, you know, over the last 20 years, 25 years, hanging out in and around Portland, I've noticed that the musicians used to be paid really good money. And nowadays, that has kind of gone out the window because there are so many players that just want to play. They'll play for cheap and basically, how would you say this, Michael? Cut into the
maybe you don't want me to
cut into the profits of hardworking musicians that need to make an income to pay for their insurance and stuff like that. Like we were talking with Ben Rice about Paul Biani. Mm-hmm. Paul Biani has had medical issues in the past, like we all have. But as a musician, depending on your income completely as a musician, you got to pay out of pocket for insurance, and it gets spendy. Have you found that the case for yourself or anybody that you know?
I've been real fortunate to be fairly healthy. I just had my 69th birthday last Friday.
Happy birthday.
I mean, the worst thing that's happened to me is I'm become diabetic.
Oh,
because I like Coca-Cola.
Oh, yeah. I hit that mark about 9 years ago.
Yeah.
I was doing an event up in Washington State. And I just couldn't get enough liquids. And the more I drank, the more I went to the restroom. And the more I went to the restroom, the more I drank. And it was, anyway, long story short.
I've become pretty fortunate. But I know what you're saying. Back in the 70s, you know, the band got, what, $200? And that's probably like more than double what we get now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, Michael.
Well, back in the 70s, I was working 7 nights a week.
Yeah.
But that's Michael's history.
Michael's
our guitar player too has stories like that. Yeah,
Michael's past band, the Boomer Band. You know, they used to make $2,200-$2,500 a night. You know,
I've never made that kind of money.
Back in the day, you know. Of course, this was years and years ago.
The 90s.
Yeah.
I didn't make that, 2000s. Not even when I opened up for Steppenwolf.
So how did COVID treat you, buddy?
Oh, it was just a nightmare like everything else. No gigs, just stay home and play.
Yeah, the music industry just...
There's a girl right there who's responsible for the Salamanders. D.
Yeah, the music industry just dried up and died during COVID, you know?
Everything did, yeah.
Oh, well, not only everything, but the music industry still has...
And the people.
You know, I'm surprised that you are still playing. I'm surprised that you're still... got your band going, because COVID killed a lot of musicians and put them in a place where they no longer want to play, you know? And that's really a shame, because there's been some really, really talented musicians out there. One of the interviews we're doing here in the next few weeks is going to be with Ellen White.
Oh, well, I've known Ellen since he was real young, yeah.
And I'm in contact right now with Joni Harms. And she's...
I know those things.
She's ready for an interview here as soon as she comes off the road right now. She's in Texas, so... But, Michael, what else are we going to ask Sal here?
So who are your formative drummers? Who are you looking at as go, wow, that's what I want to do?
Oh, well, Stuart Copeland from the Police has always been a favorite of mine. Billy Cobham is like God.
I sat and talked with Billy for about...
Really?
Yeah. When I was in college, I did the shows, and my farewell show was the Mahavishnu Orchestra.
Yeah, John McLaughlin,
And so I sat with Billy during the sound check, and he and I talked, and he looked at me, he goes, I don't do doubles anymore. They just get in my way. I mean, he's doing singles faster than most people can do a double strut.
I was really honored and fortunate to catch Tower Power at the Elsinore in Salem a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And I got to catch David Garibaldi's last show. I snuck into the back door with my wife.
Kidding.
We walked in like we owned the place. Even security says, who are you guys? I says, we're Emilio's... family. You go, I was here talking to David. and I started talking to David. He was practicing on his practice pad, sitting on his chair, and I got to talk to him for a little bit, and I even got some pictures taken with him. I go, good to meet you.
Cool.
Another favorite, you know, even though I can't play all their music, I just worship them, you know, and very inspirational. And
so, Sal, we're going to play another cut from your tonight's event, so stand by, and here we go.
All right. We'll be right back.
And we're back. Wow. So
that was fun.
Absolutely. You know, you guys rock. I mean, you guys just tear it up.
With a little bit of soul.
Oh, absolutely. Everybody needs some soul. It reminds me of Lee Garrett, who used to be a front man, who's, what, living in L.A. right now?
Yeah, he's in L.A. Yeah. Yeah. I just saw him a couple weeks ago.
Not to be confused with Leif Garrett.
No.
Lee Garrett's the co-writer with
Stevie Wonder. One of those
signed,
names
sealed,
you
delivered.
Forget.
Yeah, yeah. And he also wrote some Beatles tunes that they recorded. So yeah, and
I'm still learning.
Please, Mr. Postman, he wrote.
All right.
Yeah. In fact, like Michael told Ben a few months ago, he called Lee up and Lee says, "Hey, I'm a millionaire," and Michael goes, "Really?
No, I didn't. I said it's about damn time."
Yeah. So I guess he sold his...
He's finally starting to get royalties he should have been getting all along.
Right.
For sure.
Yep.
Michael knows everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, he was a booking agent for years.
Yeah. Unlike me, everywhere yet nowhere.
I don't know. He can't... I'm sure he can't talk about some of the things that he's seen, especially when he was...
Heard or done. Yeah.
Especially when he was...
Is this Las Vegas?
Limousine driver for picking musicians up at the airport.
I've heard stories.
And let's put it this way, how intoxicated they were. But yet, play on stage like gods. Just, I mean, that is the difference between me playing my guitar or my instruments and a God-given talented person who has it dripping from their hands and their fingers and their body, and they have that God-given talent where I could practice every day for 4 or 5 hours a day and never attain what these guys have built into their body from God, that they just ooze talent, and you can't match that. I mean, it's just an God-given talent, you know. You probably, what, play every day?
I sing every day.
Oh, you sing? Oh, you sing every day.
Shower?
I whistle a lot. When I'm working on my farm or something, I call my chickens. They know I'm whistling. They go, "Oh, there he is."
Oh, my. Oh, you have a farm, huh?
Well, kind of. I live on a little hill with like 8 acres, and I used to have goats and ducks, and now I just down to like 14 chickens, 2 pigs.
Absolutely.
They're all pets. Yeah. We don't eat our pets.
Yeah.
Just their eggs on occasion.
Well, so Sal, we're going to play another cut from your tonight's event, so stand by, and here we go.
All right.
Thank you.
It's been a wonderful time interviewing you, Sal.
Hey, well, it was good meeting you,
and,
too, again.
I would like to do this another time at some other point, and maybe another 10 years or sooner, I hope. Won't be that long. Michael, what do you say to all that?
I hope I'm around in 10 years.
And when I make my first million, I'll be sure to buy you guys a burger or something.
Oh, thank you,
absolutely,
Sal.
That's right.
We'll take the meal. Anyway, that's it for us, and we will see you at the next Portland Music Insider event. Have a good evening.
Portland, Oregon has long been a crucible of musical creativity, nurturing talented musicians who have shaped the city's sonic landscape for decades. From intimate jazz clubs to thunderous rock venues, the Rose City has consistently produced remarkable artists who have defined local and national music scenes. Legendary performers have emerged from Portland's diverse neighborhoods, creating a rich tapestry of musical expression that resonates far beyond the city limits. The city's musical heritage runs deep, with musicians like Esperanza Spalding, a jazz prodigy who emerged from Portland's vibrant jazz community, setting international standards. Her groundbreaking albums like Radio Music Society and performances at venues such as Jimmy Max, now sadly closed, exemplify the city's commitment to musical excellence.
If you've enjoyed this broadcast of Portland Music Insider, do reach out to KBOO by phone, email, or other means to let them know that you enjoyed this program and would like it to continue. Remember, KBOO is a listener-supported station, and your membership donation directly helps keep independent radio like KBOO on the air. Donate online at kboo.fm/donate. Thank you.